and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Congress has calmly certified the presidential election as a win for Donald Trump. 4 years after rioters stormed the Capitol but failed to prevent certification of Joe Biden's win. CBS's Robert Costa.
It's important for American democracy and for the American people to see this unfold in real time. The country is functioning, even at a time of deep political division.
Winter weather is dropping a lot of snow on West Virginia and parts of Pennsylvania and Maryland. It stopped near St. Louis, but still frigid and windy there. CBS's Ian Lee is in Clayton, Missouri.
I've seen a few people today driving up and down these streets. The roads are still quite treacherous. Where we are, we got about between 6 and 8 inches of snow. Other parts got a little over a foot.
As people pay their respects to Jimmy Carter in Atlanta, this young boy's comment is a good example of the legacy the former president leaves behind.
He inspired lots of people to do great things.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A 28-year-old Wausau man is dead after a car crash on December 30th, where two cars collided near the intersection of State Highway 52 and County Road X in Wausau. Elroy Hendrickson was transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. The Marathon County Medical Examiner's Office says that Mr. Hendrickson did die from his injuries. And only one baby was born in Wausau on New Year's Day. Derek Tritz has the details.
Vincent Joseph Bergano entered the world on January 1st, 2025 at 1:39 p.m. in the Aspirus Wausau Hospital, hogging all the local spotlight for himself. Last year, the hospital welcomed zero new babies on New Year's Day. While it's tradition for many of us to learn about the first babies born into the world each year, having a birthday on New Year's Day is rare and is the second least common birthday behind Christmas, according to data from the National Center for Health Statistics. Bergano is not only one of the first to be born in the new year, but is also among the first to join the new generation, Generation Beta.
And energy experts say that Wisconsin is expected to see over a $4 billion investment in clean energy projects over the coming years. A number of long-term energy projects are planned in the Midwest that will either be completely or partially located in Wisconsin. One of those projects includes the construction of long-range transmission lines for transporting clean energy. Experts say the construction on the projects alone could support thousands of jobs, and when completed, they could produce over 6.5 gigawatts of clean energy. And Gas Buddy recently released its 2025 fuel price outlook, forecasting a third consecutive year of lower gas and diesel prices. Gas Buddy projects that the yearly national average for gas in 2025 will decline to $3.22 per gallon. Today in central Wisconsin, prices range from $2.79 to $2.85. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
Christian Watson lost for the season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL and did other damage to his left knee in Sunday's game against the Bears.
Yeah, it's not good. He'll be out for the season or the rest of the year.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how much of a loss Watson will be for the Packers offense heading into Sunday's playoff game against the Eagles, kickoff at 3:30.
Yeah, it's a big-time loss. Just his presence on the field alone. He's so versatile in his ability to play multiple positions. You can put him at the X, the F, the Z. You can move him all over the place. Obviously, he's got an element in terms of his size and speed that's tough to replicate. There's not many built like him around the league. And I hurt for him just because I know how much he's put into this thing. It's an unfortunate part of our game. But like I told him, I know he'll attack it the right way.
NBA, the Bucks are in Toronto tonight against the Raptors. A recap coming up later tonight with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low of 5 to 10. Clouds to start tomorrow morning, then some sunshine for the afternoon, a high near 20. And partly sunny and upper teens for Wednesday. Turning mostly cloudy for Thursday, maybe a few flurries, and a high in the mid-20s.
Currently, it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 6, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And yes, it took me a second to 25. Mm. It did. It's take a little getting used to.
Write that down.
We are spending the entire hour with our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department with us. We have Sheriff Sean Becker here with us today. Sean, always good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
You brought a new friend. We have Lieutenant Nate Dean with us as well. Nate, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We want to start off thanking our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here as well to record this and put it on their YouTube page. Do yourself a favor. Get to YouTube. Type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to the great work they are doing. We appreciate the gang over there. Guys, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah.
Sean, I know that we usually have a couple of places we like to start. Where would you like to begin today?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. Happy New Year.
2025. Time just flies. You know, go back 20 years ago, I didn't think I'd like be here. You know, it's weird to say 2025, but hey, we're here. As far as the holidays, pretty uneventful for us, which is a great thing. We were talking this morning about, you know, just OWI arrests. You know, did we have any OWI arrests on New Year's Eve? And we did not. So it tells me that I believe people are being smarter. You know, looking out for the other resources that, you know, if you're going to go out and have a good time, you know, get somebody that can drive you home. I know there's Ubers or I don't know how if Uber is pretty popular around here, but I know in Stevens Point it is. But just, you know, I really feel that it's a compliment to the people that do go out on that evening and take care of themselves and others. And it was an uneventful night, which is great.
Yeah, it's certainly not asking you to comb through your whole career every New Year's Eve or anything like that, but I don't remember many like that. And I do think that that's pretty noteworthy. I'm glad you started off here and everything, because I really think that not only, you know, certainly it's hard to compliment people for doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that feels a little weird and everything to be that, you know, hey, nice job doing what you're supposed to do here. But at the same time, we do know our area. We know our culture here in Wisconsin and some of these things. To be making this progress should be noted. We don't get anywhere without, you know, noting the baby steps that get us to these places. That is noteworthy.
Yeah, I really do. I feel the same way, you know, with people that are, like I said, if they're going out and having a good time, they're making the arrangements to make sure that they get home safe. And that keeps everybody else safe, including, you know, our deputies that are working, you know, that shift, you know, the night shift on, or even on New Year's Day, or whatever it might be, that people are paying attention.
Hope you guys had a good holiday as well throughout the holidays and everything, and a good New Year's. And we're kicking off 2025. We got the city got our present. We got a new jail. We opened that thing up already. That president is sitting there, and it is waiting for us to be able to. How did that go? Because we haven't talked since the first. I almost forgot about this. I had it in my notes and everything. Nice work. Nice work with the ribbon cutting celebration and everything up there. I saw, thanks to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, because I was not able to be there, I got to see the video of that. You did a really good job.
Well, thank you.
I do want to shout out Lance as well, who didn't seem like he was supposed to be talking, but got up there and did a nice job, as he does.
Funny story, Lance tried to defer to somebody else at the department, you know, and we thought of immediately Ted Ashbeck, our jail captain, who's been extremely instrumental with you know, the whole process, you know, and Ted said, no, I don't want to do it. we weren't going to make him, but it was kind of, hey, Lance, I will speak, but you know, let's let the people that, you know, are very, you know, involved with the project, and you know, between Ted and then Ruben Van Tassel, our maintenance supervisor, just they crushed it. This whole project, just making sure that what we wanted, what we needed, you know, in this, you know, $92 million project, what was taken care of, and they both did just a phenomenal job. But no, that was really a surreal moment. You know, our honor guard that you know, Nate's part of, came in and started out the ceremony by posting the colors, and that went over very well. You could just tell with, you had a packed house of people. And that just started things off. And then, you know, then you have Laura Valenstein. Again, I just love to talk about her and the jail ad hoc committee. You know, it just gives us time to reminisce about the start point, you know, of, you know, just the discussions on the need. And then to get to here where we're just about ready to occupy it. And it's hard sometimes not to get emotional just because of what it took. And the whole theme was teamwork. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it was all about. It wasn't about me. It wasn't, you know, all about our department either. It was about the community and the need. And, you know, seeing Laura and our county board members, you know, look at the need. They weren't convinced, and Laura will tell you that, you know, that, hey, after, you know, a presentation about the need from, you know, our architect from Venture, not that they did a bad job on their presentation. It was just, you know, I don't know if we really need it. And then with Lance putting together that committee of people that really weren't very supportive, then it just grew. And the work that all of our county board, you know, did through this whole process, you know, they did their job. They went out in the community. They talked about what they're seeing and explained the whys. And that's what you expect out of your elected officials. And then another thing is, you know, it didn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. They didn't dig in and say no because I'm this or that. They looked at what the needs were. And that's something that I love to brag about. And just to have that small part of it and to watch it, just to say, hey, we'll answer the questions. You know, we know that we need it. And we've had for a long time. And going back to Ted, you know, about 6+ years ago when we started that conversation, and he educated me because my background is not corrections, you know, and so not that I didn't know much about it, but, you know, he explained, you know, all these reasons why, you know, and we were just waiting for that change in our department, and then it just built from there. And so for, you know, for me being that small part of it, it was really quite an honor just to watch it all happen. And, you know, doing all the jail tours, we've done a lot of them.
Yeah, I imagine.
Which I'm not complaining about. It's just, like I said, it gives me that opportunity to brag about the people that made it happen, and even to see the support, and it's just huge, you know. Going through the ribbon cutting ceremony, and a huge thank you to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce to be there and set it up, but to see how many people were there.
I think one of the things that happens, and this is just life and how it works and everything, but we get caught up in the moment at times, and we get caught up in hyperbole at sometimes in those things. But this is one of those situations, young, old, no matter who I talk to in the community, the more people than not understand that there was a time, and not that long ago, where this seemed very far-fetched, that this seemed like a very far-fetched idea and was not going to get up the flagpole. Yeah. And here we are, where it's not only, you know, happened, we're getting closer and closer to it opening up.
Right. No, it's a surreal moment. Last week we did a tour for some representatives of Portage County because they're in the same position, and they've kind of stalled a bit. But that was fun to bring them through, answer a lot of questions. Ted and I, you know, answered a lot of things for them, and then kind of brag like, hey, look at what we did and then what we accomplished. And I know that they have the land purchased and they're just kind of stalled and they need to get to talk more people, kind of follow what we did. You know, I think they'll get there. You know, the unfortunate thing for them is the longer you put it off, the more you're going to pay. And it's going to cost your taxpayers even more money. So the need's there. They justified it for very, very similar reasons why we did. And they're just in a position that I hope that they move forward with it because the community deserves it. And so does, you know, not just the law enforcement community, but everybody does.
And it's something we've touched on, too. And now we're in the process of people getting familiar, you know, people getting familiar with the jail, getting more used to it and getting some training in there. Right.
Yeah. That's the next phase that we're really going through. It's putting together the training program for the new facility. It's completely different than what we have right now. And we had our own open house for our staff, like the week before the ribbon cutting ceremony. And I was extremely proud to, I had no idea how many people were coming. We had an idea, you know, kind of an estimate, but boy, I think we had over 200 people because I said, you know what, hey, bring, you know, your family, bring your friends that want to see this and you can have free reign of the building. And I think a few people got lost here and there, but it was, you know, I thought a really good moment for our department to see what, you know, what we're going to get very shortly. And I think it was eye-opening, especially for some of our corrections officers that hadn't had the opportunity to walk through yet and show people what we're going to be dealing with. So that'll be the next phase. And Ted's doing a nice job of putting that together. You know, it'll probably take at least once here are the keys. Sam's group has been awesome to work with, our project manager, and once they turn the keys over to us, then that training process will start, and that'll probably happen within the next couple weeks. And we're probably estimating, you know, a good month at least to make sure that our staff is going to be, you know, comfortable with running the facility. I can't wait until we don't have to house inmates in WPAC anymore, but you know what, we'll be patient, and once we're ready to roll, we'll do that, but...
You know, it's something that I know that maybe people out there, and hey, I hope you don't have to deal with this, but we've talked about so many of the positives and the reasons for this and the how much this helps. Over the weekend, I spent a lot of time with my dad, and we got talking about the new jail a little bit, along with a million other things. Sure. But this came up, and one of the things he brought was the inmates being housed in other areas. And it should never be forgotten, and I know it's not with you guys or anything, but I think overall in society, sometimes we forget the purpose of prison, of jail, of these things. And it is to, more than times than not, rehabilitation and to get people back into society. And how we stop the revolving door are the oldest conversation you and I have been having. And one thing my father noted was the idea of an inmate doing so much better when they have a support system.
Yeah.
And when they are able to reach that support system, whether it is having them stopping by and seeing them or anything like that on visit times or something like that. Now, that's a lot harder to do when an inmate from here is in WPAC.
Right.
And so certainly the overall purpose of this, and I'm not even arguing with, is tax dollars and saving our community that and the impact on our economy. But as a side story here, I will say one of the positives of this will probably be that. It's almost hard not. I don't have numbers for you or anything like that that I can. But I will put my name on this that I think that is going to be a positive that'll be coming from this too, of inmates who are doing they're having accountability and they're doing what they should be doing and everything and paying for their crimes, while also understanding, hey, their loved ones can actually come and see them now and show them encouragement. And, hey, there's another day. There's tomorrow. You can get out of here. You can rehabilitate and all those things. That encouragement, you can't put a price on that.
No, you can't.
So, something like that, there's so many other things that are going to be coming up. And this is just one little thing. There's going to be other stuff that comes up, I think, over the years of why, wow, man, I'm glad we have this new jail that are going to remind us of that.
No, and that's a great point that you're making, those 75 people that are housed over in WPAC. And they've been a great partner. You know, did they take advantage of a situation? No, they had a facility that was, you know, there to house other people's inmates. And we're not the only, you know, sheriff's department that houses people over there. Portage County does as well. And, but, you know, they had the facility to house them, and then there's a cost associated with that. And do the inmates over there that are from Wood County get all the services that we provide within our facility? No. But that's not a knock on Wapaka. I mean, they do have things there that are available to help people through while they're doing their time. You bring up a really good point on visitation. You know, one thing with technology, and that's another thing that this facility, you know, that we invested in, what, you know, what's available and what we can will fit for us is visitation and how we do visitation. COVID changed some things, you know, a couple of things, you know, right off the top of my head, you know, the work release program, the Huber program, you know, that all had to stop during COVID. And then you had to find out different ways of how you can, you know, accommodate people that do qualify for a work release program. And fortunately, you know, we've had electronic monitoring going on for quite some time. And so the shift was, okay, we don't want people coming in and out of the facility. We want to limit that as much as we can. And already having the electronic monitoring program, the cost is associated is essentially the same. So what we did is just expanded our electronic monitoring program and really eliminated the work release program of people coming to and from the jail. All right, we've got you on ankle bracelet program. So that was a big change that we're continuing to do. And then the other thing is visitation. You know, obviously when COVID was going on, we were, you know, there were not any visits going on. And that is hard on an inmate because you do still want to connect with the outside. And what's evolved with technology is video visitation. And that's something that was a big investment with this facility where inmates can do a visit almost any time, you know, not, you know, way in the early morning hours, but, you know, while they're, you know, in the common area of their cell block, their kiosk where you can, you know, call and do a video visit with somebody they might be at home. Or if somebody wants to come and visit an inmate, they can do it for free at the sheriff's department where we have a visitation booth, but it's all by video. So that's been a change that all, you know, all jails are going through in prisons, that, you know, the visitation can be really be done right from the cell block. We also have tablets that the inmates can get if they qualify for it, where you can do it right from your tablet as well. But I do tell people there is a cost associated with that, and you have to look at it. It's very similar to like doing a collect call, you know, phone call. Well, there's a cost associated with that as well. Unless people come to the facility, then it's free. You can do the video visit from the facility. But a couple things that you know, we had a look at, you know, when we were going through the building phase of the project of, you know, technology, and that's been a big, a huge investment for, you know, for this new facility.
As the building's opening up and stuff, we'll be talking more and more about it. But very encouraging for our community. And again, nice job with the presentation, the opening, the ribbon cutting, all of that. It was good work.
Like I said, surreal moment. Very proud of our county board and all the people that had a part of it.
We're speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker right now. And Sean also brought in Lieutenant Nate Dean with us. And Nate, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Sean, why'd you bring Nate out of here other than for me to make him uncomfortable and put him on the spot or anything like that? But.
Well, you know, I saw him in his office this morning. I'm like, So the idea came up. And I didn't force him here. But I'm like, hey, you want to go on the radio show with me today? And he didn't say no. And I don't think he felt he could have said no, because
here's a note for you on radio days. I guess you got to hide. I guess
that's a good idea. Note down what those days are. Right.
Oh, I just thought it was a good opportunity. Nate's been with us for several years now and done an awesome job with a lot of the programs that he oversees with the department. He finally got the day shift last year. He's been working nights for a while. He's younger. We hired you. I wrote down 2013, and I remember his interview. Nate's not from the Wood County area. I think he's a lot, did kind of like what a lot of us did when we started our careers off. We just threw applications anywhere and everywhere, and where somebody gave us the opportunity, that's where we started our career. He's from Eau Claire and had an awesome interview. And I'm not just saying that, okay? But he really set himself above the other candidates that some were, you know, working with us part-time or whatnot. And he got the opportunity, and he took it. And he decided to stay here, and very proud of him for that, because I know that that's not easy, because I know what I did. You know, I worked down at the Sauk Prairie Police Department for a couple of years to get my experience, because it was so competitive back then to get into law enforcement, especially in central Wisconsin, and then came back and got very lucky that Wood County hired me. And so that fear was with Nate when he got hired here. Do we take a chance on him? He did an awesome job. He had a great background. And I'm like, I bet she's going to want to go back to Eau Claire. And, you know, he seriously thought about it. And I have no problem with that, because that's what a lot of people do. And, you know, hey, it worked out for us that he decided to stay. And he's been promoted a couple times, and he's very well respected at our department. And he's a great leader. He's proud of him to be part of our admin team.
Without prying too much, Nate, and again, thanks for being here. I appreciate the time and the service in our community and everything. What was it about the area that made you want to stay?
Yeah, you know, initially, like Sheriff Becker had said, you know, in 2013, very competitive in processes to get into law enforcement. We've seen a change in that now, where applications are down and it's a little bit different. But back then it was very competitive and openings were few and far between. And through college and an internship program with the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Department, that's where I knew that I wanted to work for a sheriff's department. And then let's pull up the internet and see what are available. And Wood County happened to be a sheriff's department that was hiring at the time. And really just working and getting to, one, get into the department. And then two, you start learning the department and getting familiar with the area, getting familiar with the department. It becomes a second home. And this area grew on me quick and became my second home. Like Sheriff Becker had said, I'm from Eau Claire. But we really work in a great area right here in central Wisconsin, from the north end of our county to the south end of our county. It has a lot to offer, really just saw as a great opportunity to stay here. I ended up meeting my wife, who's from Marshfield. So that helped.
That's why he's here.
There we go.
That helped lock things down and keep me here in the area as well. But it's been a great department to work for and a great area to work for.
You know, and this is a familiar story. You know, Sean has brought in the number of people and everything, and every once in a while there is somebody who is not from our area, but when they become a transplant, like myself and my family and like some others and everything, where we're not maybe from here, but we get here, and there's something about this area that makes you want to stick around, makes you want to plant roots, and just really build from here. Whether you stay here for a long time or not, it stays with you, this area. There's something to that, I think, and something that locals can take a lot of pride in, I would think, in those things.
Absolutely.
We got to go to break here in just about a minute. So before that, though, I do want to ask, what got you into law enforcement in general? What got you to want to dedicate your life, your career to this?
Ultimately started at a young age, and it started with just community engagement in Eau Claire. The local police department, sheriff's department, state patrol, just community outreach events. Back then in our elementary school, the earliest memory of me wanting to be in law enforcement was through the DARE program. And the DARE program coming into our elementary school. And that used to be a very prevalent program. It's not something you see a lot anymore. But that is probably my earliest memory of wanting to be, hey, that's what I want to do. And from then, it stuck with me. And when I had the opportunity to do my first ride-along with the Eau Claire Police Department, that really got me hooked, you know, to be able to see the job in person, experience it firsthand. And from there, it was just a wild ride, you know, ever since. Ride-alongs with multiple agencies, doing anything and everything I can to just experience the job, get experience. And in college, I worked for the Eau Claire Police Department in a community service role, which really helped both in college and then for that application process after, to just gain some experience in law enforcement without having that full-time job yet.
It's not surprising, yet it gets me every time how many people that I ask that question in law enforcement, and it's, you know, at a young age, something hit them, and they wanted to follow this path, follow this career. It really speaks to it, especially as it's one thing to, when you're a kid, want to do this, but as you get older and you learn more and more about that job, and your focus doesn't change. This is still what you want, even with all of that. I think that that's very noteworthy, and it speaks highly of the job, and as you touched on a little bit here, too. As applications are down, one of the things that I try to do with this segment is reminding people that, especially our younger listeners out there, this is an incredibly rewarding career, and it's not a job. And there's so many people nowadays that are looking for careers, not jobs.
Right.
This is a career, and this is one of the more rewarding things you can do with your life, let alone your work life.
Absolutely. I mean, it has its ups and downs, don't get me wrong, but there are so many rewarding things in this career. And those community events that I remember as a kid and those outreach that I had from law enforcement back home sticks with me to this day. And that's really what drives me to continue to do those community outreach events, continue to expand our footprint as, you know, as the Sheriff's Department in our community, and making sure that we're being involved as much as we can.
We'll talk more with you, sir. We'll talk more with Sheriff Becker as well in a moment when we come back with more Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Eric Humpty's defamation suit against several Wisconsin TV stations continues. Lisa Hale has the story.
Eric Hovde, the Republican who ran for Senate against Tammy Baldwin, accused several TV stations of defamation for airing commercials by the Democratic Political Action Group, Win Senate PAC. Brown County Judge Donald Zweedmulder heard arguments Thursday on a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. He gave no ruling, but instead gave the attorneys more time to submit written arguments.
The suit names the parent companies of Channel 7, WSAW-TV, Gray Media, Nexstar, and Scripps Media. It also named Sinclair Broadcasting. Zweedmulder anticipates issuing a ruling in the coming weeks. And the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has reported an increase in homelessness of nearly 4% in the state last year. According to their data, over 5,000 people experienced homelessness at some point in 2024. The report also found that over 200 unaccompanied kids experienced homelessness. The unhoused population has grown across the country over recent years as people struggle with rising home prices, stagnant wages, and inflation. And a 50-year-old Port Edwards Boxing Club is looking for a new home. Ken Hilgers and his boxing club have used the Port Edwards YMCA for the past 13 years. But because of the aging building, they've been forced to close down as of the beginning of the year. Now, when a search for a new space, Ken Hilgers has trained over 15,000 boxers, and he averages 30 new faces per year. And the Wausau Fire Department is now offering an apprenticeship program to become a firefighter or paramedic. Making livable wages with full-time benefits, you'll get $10,000 in early engagement benefits and $5,000 in tuition reimbursement for paramedic training. It's a 12-month program to complete, but you do earn a certificate. The application can be found at governmentjobs.com. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mamma Mia, there is a new champ when it comes to stage musical adapted to the big screen. Wicked has been a box office juggernaut since its release in November, and now it's just passed Mamma Mia as the number one musical stage adaptation, according to Pubity.com. The results of the poll apparently sent fans of Mamma Mia into a lather on social media. The friendly competition and debate between the two films should continue as Mamma Mia has a third installment in the works, and the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande-led Wicked will see Chapter 2 hit theaters next November. If you don't like to watch horror films, there is the option to sidestep the blood and creep and just read the script. Deadline's Read the Screenplay series has made the script for the recently released Nosferatu available at Deadline.com. The screenplay was adapted by Robert Eggers, who is also the director. Nosferatu stars Bill Skarsgård and has received rave reviews and is currently in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low of 5 to 10. Clouds to start tomorrow morning, then some sunshine for the afternoon, a high near 20. And partly sunny and upper teens for Wednesday. Turning mostly cloudy for Thursday, maybe a few flurries, and a high in the mid-20s.
Currently, it's 26.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 6th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're spending the hour with our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us, along with Lieutenant Nate Dean. And Sean, we got a couple of things we want to touch on here, but while we've got Nate, and we've been kind of started that conversation, there were some other reasons you wanted to bring him in and some things you wanted to highlight about what he's doing and what our departments are doing.
Yeah, like I'd mentioned, he oversees a lot of our... recreational patrols. He works with Matt Souza on that. And like I said, snowmobile patrol comes to mind, but it's like the second year in a row. I don't know if the trails are going to even open. It's just, it's weird, but he does oversee all that. And he also oversees our Native American grant too that we've had for many years that he gets out and does a lot of community outreach with that as well.
Nate, could you tell us what that grant is specifically and how that has impacted the departments here in Wisconsin and just police force in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So what it's called, it's the County Tribal Law Enforcement Agreement. And what that does is it's an agreement between us and here, the Ho-Chunk Nation. And it gives us the ability to, I guess, have a cooperation with the Ho-Chunk Nation and an agreement to patrol and provide service to the tribal lands within Wood County. Likewise, in other counties, Sauk County, Jackson County, that have Ho-Chunk Nation lands in them, this is agreement and a grant through the state of Wisconsin that gives us the ability to patrol those lands and work in cooperation with their police department.
When it comes to the building those bridges between our Native American communities and so much of the other communities or any of this, anything to do with that, and that I insert name, like any community and in this community, building that bridge sounds great. That's a great idea. This also has other notes of it, too, to me. And this is something that you and I have talked about as well, Sean, where the old days of doing things of we got to have credit for this bust or something like that. We're not really seeing that anymore. I'm just at least speaking here in central Wisconsin where it's sharing of information. And like, hey, we just want to take care of it. We just want to get the bad people off the street. Mm-hmm. It's not so much about who gets credit. The idea of our reservations and having more communication there and sharing of information, that's seems to be just the little bit of homework I've been able to do and read on this. It does seem like that's happening more and more. And I don't mean to say that like that was a gigantic issue or there ever was this thing going on, but there was some, I don't want to say miscommunication, not uncommunication going on there where that seems to be getting healthier and better. This grant seems to be a help in that too.
No, absolutely. We've had it for many, many years. Yeah. And what Nate's done throughout the past several years is not just focusing on the patrol aspect of the grant, all right, and working in cooperation with their police department, but is getting out in the community and doing community events. Something that comes to mind a couple of years ago, they need a new basketball hoop on some of their property near the casino. And just by noticing that, hey, you need a new a backboard, and we were able to purchase that and get out and just play basketball with the kids. That's kind of the concepts that he's been building upon, not just the aspect of being reactive with patrol, but being proactive and getting out there so, the people can see us. And we're not just a person in a squad car and a uniform and a badge. No, we're regular people too, and getting out there, especially with the youth. I think that's really, really huge, because that impression that you can get, that positive impression on a law enforcement officer as a younger person, can really have an impact on someone, because you don't know, whoever it might be, what their home life is, and maybe what, you know, interaction they've had with law enforcement wasn't so positive, not because of their behavior, but because of somebody else's behavior, whether it's a parent or sibling or a good friend. You see something and you know, action is being taken because of their behavior that might not be so positive. But here are some ways that we can get out there, and just by doing something, you know, with them. And I think it was an awesome idea that, you know, you see the need of, you know, they need a new backboard, mm-hmm. you know, and hey, let's get them one, you know, and we paid for that, and then we installed it, and then, you know, and had an awesome day of just hanging out with the kids.
To me, it's above and beyond work, and it's mm-hmm. part of what we appreciate. It's part of what we back about you all, and so often. It's also, again, coming back to something that we kind of touched on, you and I, Nate, a little bit, but we've talked about before, Sheriff, and the applications being down, if you will, mm-hmm. No matter the department or no matter where we're talking about in the country, not just here in central Wisconsin. This is also another recruiting tool. This is another opportunity, another avenue that maybe a resource that hasn't been tapped often in life, but is more so in recent years and everything, and where we're seeing more of that. And I talk a lot about representation, how important that matters in life and in society. You know, I was a little kid, and Horshack was pretty much the only guy I saw on TV that looked or sounded anything like me or anything like that. And how I saw very little of that in the police force or anything in Chicago where I was from. And I thought that was pretty noteworthy, coming from a melting pot like that. And yet I didn't see a lot of that. That ain't like the way anymore. It's changed. There is. It's not surprising anymore to see insert name again of any creed, any culture, any sex doing this. That's vital for our police departments around the country and everything. So this grant has a lot of levels to it that I think can be impactful, not just in our area, but just in general. It's great to hear, man. It's nice work.
Yeah. You bring up, you know, we talked about, you know, the applications are down a bit, but I'm going to tell you what is really, you know, awesome or cool for me to see. You know, all right, we're not getting the level of interest. I think it's improving quite a bit the last couple of years, that we're getting more applications for getting into this profession. But what you're seeing, at least our department, is, you know, we're starting to hire some of our members' kids.
That's cool.
That is cool. And, you know, I'm just thinking about that. We just hired Haley Zwislin, and her dad's a local, Chris, is a local state trooper. Hmm. You know, and we interviewed her, and she had a great interview, and we're like, okay, that's our next person we want to hire. But then you just think about the background, you know, where, you know, Haley grew up with a law enforcement family, and, you know, Ted Ashbeck, his son is one of our deputies. Hmm. You know, and, you know, John Matthews' daughter also is one of our deputies. And just to see that interest of, you know, a law enforcement family. And Ted would tell you, I didn't want my son to be a cop. I'm like, well, why not? You know, let them make their own. And, you know, it's really cool to see Teddy, and they've been on the show before, go to college, you know, and kind of figure out, hey, what do I want to do? And then come back to, no, I want to be a cop. And then we get the opportunity to hire him, and he's doing a great job. And it's just, those are really cool things that as we sit and talk about, you know, when you see family want to be part of our family, you know, if that makes sense, it's pretty cool.
It's very well worded.
You know, it's like my daughter, Jordan, you know, getting involved and as a dispatcher, that's part of our team. And that's pretty humbling.
And, you know, it's one thing for, to see this happen with anybody. Mm-hmm. We appreciate anybody jumping into this service. And I cannot stress that enough, how appreciative I and this community is to anybody doing this. It really does mean something different. I grew up watching my dad, and I love boxing. I love hockey. Cannot get enough of them. I watch, you know, right as soon as we're done here, if you guys want to, or something like that. But I also saw firsthand what it's like to be an athlete and to go through those things. And I learned real quick, that is not what I want to do for a living. I do not want to take a punch for a living. I see my dad do it. He can do it. That's not me. Yeah. I learned early on in that, for a kid to grow up in a family like that, to see every single day what it is like to put that badge on, put that uniform uniform on, and that's what they want to do, just means a little bit more. Just it just adds to it a little bit more. It really tells you something. And again, as far as a recruiting tool to me, that's a great one right there. Of seeing so many people want to continue this and turn it almost into a family business, if you will, of wanting to continue to wear that badge. And it says a lot about the industry. It says a lot about the job.
Yeah, it's I'm proud just to see that when you have family, part of the people, part of our law enforcement family, and then their family want to embark on this profession. It's pretty cool.
Nate, if people are curious about this Native American grant that we brought up and talked about and everything, want to encourage them to look into this online. Is there a website? Is there anything in particular that we could send them to? Or just throw it into your search bar and you should be able to find
it. Yeah, if you search Wisconsin Department of Justice County Tribal Law Enforcement Agreement, that should bring you right to their website and bring you the information needed for that. Otherwise, don't hesitate to reach out to the Sheriff's Department and ask for me, and I can definitely assist with answering any questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll definitely try to find the answer. But it's been definitely a great thing for our department to be able to work right with the Ho-Chunk Nation and continue that cooperation with them.
Appreciate that and the time and everything you're putting into things. Thanks, Nate. Thanks again for being here. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Yeah. Sheriff, I know there were some issues, some things we wanted to talk about with Highway 10. Wanted to get to that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're having some issues up on Highway 10 from Marshfield extending over towards Stevens Point. That stretch was redone in 2011. And unfortunately, we've been seeing some tragedies. And most recently, a 17-year-old female, a Lincoln High School student, was killed recently on Highway 10. And getting a lot of phone calls, of how dangerous some people feel that the highway is. We did pull some research, and since the new highway was done, I think we had either 9 or 10 fatalities. So we're going to work with the Department of Transportation. They oversee at least the signage and the design of Highway 10, not pointing any fingers, but we've gotten a lot of phone calls. Recently, just with the recent tragedy, and that's not the only person that's lost their life, and a lot of other people have gotten hurt too. So we've got to do something together to try to make that highway safer. That's probably one of the hardest things that we have to investigate are traffic fatalities, and if there's something that can be done to make an environment safer, we should do it. We should do it together.
I don't mean to get you into a gray area here or anything, but is there something we could be doing right now, just as citizens, that we could be doing better?
Great question. Talk to your legislators. That's where I would start. John Spiros and I had a long conversation last week. I also spoke with Scott Soik, who works for Derek Van Orten, at length about this, and I will be speaking with Pat Destin as well. I think that's where you start with. Also, call your county board members. Let them be aware they know, but there's something that we need to do collectively together. Any option that can make any of the intersection, that's where we've been having the problems, are the cross intersections. Highway 186 is probably the biggest one, but there's also other ones out there that people sometimes struggle going across four lanes of traffic and not stopping, in the intersection in the middle, the median. And we've got to do something out there. So it's concerning. And I'm hoping that collectively with Department of Transportation, we can do something as far as change it. We're going to get out there and provide extra patrol and reaching out to the State Patrol to do the same thing, especially at those busier times, when school's getting out or school's starting, where you have especially a lot of the younger people that are driving out there that don't have as much experience as we do. But, we've had people that have had numerous years of experience driving that have unfortunately been in a crash that somebody's life was lost. So it's hard to talk about because you're dealing with, especially a recent one with a 17-year-old. It's hard. The driver that did not pass, but the passenger did. I knew him. He played football at Lincoln High School, and just look at the not only the physical injuries that he's going through, but also the mental health side of things. When you were driving a vehicle that somebody died in, I can't imagine it. But let's work together to try to prevent these kind of tragedies going on.
We will be keeping on this story, and we'll be both of us will be sharing and sharing with our audience more and more of this, and as conversations go on, and as Sheriff Becker told you and reminded us, hopefully that when it comes to our representatives, we are the boss. We are in charge. We put them in that position. It is important that they that we remind them of that sometimes with these kind of with kind of feedback like this. And reach out to them. Encourage you to do that.
Yeah, please do.
Have some promotions going on. I felt a chill in the air. So that means the polar plunge is not far away as well.
No, that's coming fast. February 1st out at Anchor Bay again. Great venue. I'm glad it's back out there again. And yeah, we've got a plunge team. Sheriff's Department has been doing it a long time. It's just a great community event, and the fundraising for Special Olympics is, you know, it can't get any better than that, in my opinion. Of course, I'm a little biased, you know, but it's been fun to do. It's not fun in the water, but, you know, you get out as quick as possible and find the nearest hot tub, and it's all good. It's a great cause, but very proud of the fact that our team, you know, our Sheriff's Department still has a team with people willing to do it. I don't know if Nate will or not, but you know,
we'll see.
You could ask him.
Yeah, I was going to put him on the spot for a second.
A lot of our corrections officers have stepped up, but no, it's all about the cause and raising some money and having a good time. And again, please come out if you don't if you're not going to plunge. Please donate to a plunger. It doesn't have to be me or the sheriff's department, but if somebody that you know is plunging, please support them. Goes to a great cause and come out. Like I said, the folks at Anchor Bay do a phenomenal job having this a great all-day event, and you'll have a lot of fun. And again, come out and support the cause. February 1st, Anchor Bay. Plunging will start at noon. And law enforcement usually goes first, but that'll be up to the powers that be that organize the event.
Looking forward to it. We'll be covering it. We'll be talking more about it as we get closer to it. Any other news and notes you wanted to get to in our last 5-10 minutes here?
Yeah. Well, I want to thank Dave Mosier. Every year he donates to our K-9 unit. And he probably won't like me saying it, but no, thank you, Dave, for the continued support. Your generosity is helping support our K-9 unit, and just the donations that we get from the community. I can tell you right now that the Sheriff's Department should never have to budget for another dog at all. With the donations that we have gotten throughout the last couple of years especially, we're going to be set up for purchasing dogs, equipment, training for, I think, ever, just the way it's looking at. You know, just a huge thank you to Dave and our foundation, our Acacia Foundation, going out and getting the donations and people supporting us is huge. And to kind of segue into that, that gives us an opportunity, you know, to provide a service that not is only exclusive to Wood County, but around the state. You know, yesterday is a good example. The game kind of stunk. I don't even want to talk about the game, but there was a Packer game yesterday, and you can laugh all you want, but hey, it is what it is. The Packer-Bear game is always something that I treasure, because being originally from the Chicago area, my dad would take me to that game, whether it was down at Soldier Field or when we moved to Stevens Point, that was the game, you know, and we've been owning, and I became a Packer fan. Everybody should know that. First time you go to Lambeau, you're hooked. But anyway, where I'm going with this is with Brandon Christensen, one of our lieutenants. He's recently promoted to that position, but he's been a canine handler for several years. And he has a unique dog and that detects explosives, bingo. And Brown County or Green Bay PD reached out and said, hey, do you want to come and at least work the Packer games before the game starts, because of, you know, that specialized dog that we have? And absolutely. So I think this is the third game he's worked, but he doesn't want to do it anymore, because their record when he comes to work the game is they've only won once out of three games. So he's like, I don't know if I want to go anymore. You know, but it goes back to, you know, the community donations, especially from our foundation, has given us the opportunity not only to serve Wood County, but, you know, throughout the state for events, you know, and even during the election season, you know, he was called several times for either candidate just to go out and, you know, make sure that you know, whatever happens for that event, it's safe. You know, and it's unfortunate we're seeing what's going on in our country, and kind of humbled in a way that we're being asked to help out. So, and it's still hard to, you know, you look at what happened on New Year's Eve, and, you know, and hearts, you know, our heart and prayers are out to the people in New Orleans. And, you know, those are things that just shouldn't happen, mm-hmm. you know. And but anyway, going back, circling back, at least mm-hmm. as a department, we can go out and help to try to make events, huge events, safer.
Yeah. It feels like another one of these topics similar to the jail, where we start out talking about this, this, and this, and as it goes on, we discover more and more how important these things are and how many different things they can do. The canine department, I think, is one of the best examples of this, where you and I could spend the whole hour talking about the vital work that does on the job. But there's also the other end of this, of the PR part of this, and right. building bridges with communities that we founded our canine units, and they excel yeah. at and everything. Turns out people love dogs.
Yes, they do.
it's another one of those things that really that there yeah. is so much to this. And it's to me another reminder too of our officers, because there is very few officers out there that have just, this is what I do all day, every day, just this one particular thing. More than not, you guys are wearing multiple hats. Yeah. And it hopefully creates a little more empathy for us as citizens in what that is to do that. And what yeah. you sign up for and the added things that are put on there with that. It speaks to that, to me, yeah. and I think to others as well. And hopefully some appreciation of that.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And we're very, you know, very fortunate that we have five dogs and, again, community funded. Everybody's met Lola, our therapy dog that Lieutenant Wagner is just doing a fantastic job with. I mean, she gets out not only dealing with, you know, our inmate population and the calming effect that has, you know, just being within the jail, but out in the community. You know, recently she did a kind of a fundraiser for, I think it was called Adopt a Grandparent over at Edgewater. Mm. And mm. what she did is brought Lola out into the courthouse and talking with all the courthouse employees, got some like toiletries and stuff, you know, for the people living at Edgewater, and got a whole wagon full of stuff and delivered it. And those are ideas that she comes up with too. You know, like what we talked about with Nate getting out in the community, and mm-hmm. she's, you know, doing that as well, and very proud of her as well for going there. But that, just circling back, I mean, we wouldn't have that opportunity if it wasn't for the community support, and that's something that we're always going to appreciate.
Well, it goes both ways, because that support comes because we've seen for decades consistent and appreciative a community that respects its department, because the department respects the community.
Right.
It goes both ways, mm-hmm. and you back things like that. You support things like that. So yeah. it's a mutually beneficial thing that we appreciate, and always appreciate the time from you guys, especially with everything that is going on. And any day, for you guys to be able to take an hour to hang out with us, inform yeah. our community and everything, and really have that no middleman kind of process. It's just you straight up to the audience. As we're starting a new year here and another year of doing this every month, I'm appreciative of it, and I know I'm not alone. There's others out there that are. You guys stay safe out there. Happy New Year to you and yours. And thank you again for the time. And great to meet you, sir. Nate, well. Good to meet you. We'll see you again. He's going to bring you back in, man. Yeah. He did too good of a job. You're going to definitely come back. Thank you both for the time. And, yeah. of course, a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Deeply appreciate the work they do. Do yourself a favor. Go to your search bar on YouTube and subscribe to the work they are doing over there. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Civic Media's own Luke Mathers will be in with a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester and your calls. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hours after his certification as the next president, a judge has refused Donald Trump's request for a delay in sentencing on his hush money cover-up conviction. Trump's Democratic opponent, Vice President Harris, had the duty of making the certification announcement as Senate president.
One of the most important pillars of our democracy is that there will be a peaceful transfer of power.
The snow moves east, but what's left behind in the Midwest isn't going away. CBS's Ian Lee is near St. Louis.
Crews are still...
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer! To the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Ice, cold, water, Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the three.